Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. Today's guest is someone who has spent decades helping families and business owners build wealth, preserve legacy, and most importantly, stay connected. Jim Carpenter is a seasoned advisor and licensed pilot who discovered that the secret to long-term success wasn't just about strategies and spreadsheets, it was about relationships. Whether flying across states to visit clients in person or using personal touches to stay top of mind, Jim's commitment to connection sets him apart. Now, with his new book, Beyond the Runway, on the horizon, Jim is sharing the principles and habits that have kept him soaring personally and professionally. In this episode, we'll take a look at how he built a business around relationships and the simple but powerful ways he stays truly present in the lives of those he serves. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you, Janice. This is amazing.
Well, I love what you're doing, and you know we think alike, and relationships are important, period. They're important to both of us. And I'm going to start by just saying that we both are connected to the same company, Promptings, which is an amazing tool that we both use to stay connected to the people in our lives. And that's how we met. So,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So that's important. So I want to start though by just looking at the fact that you've logged over 5,000 hours as a pilot and how aviation became more than just a mode of travel for you. And I think that's one way for sharing your story, a little bit of background with us that actually really means a lot.
Yeah, you know, it was a tool. And that's how I've always treated aviation. Wasn't just something that I got into just for the sake of flying. Number one, I didn't have the time. Number two, it was very expensive.
That's for sure.
But if I take it back a little bit, you know, I followed after my father in the insurance business. I was 18 years old. My father started in the insurance business in 1958. And so I was blessed to be able to work with Dad side by side for all those years.
That's special.
It was, yeah. And fast forward that to the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s in that area, we began working primarily in churches doing financial and estate planning. So we spoke across the country in Western United States in over 100 churches, ranging in topics, you know, some budgeting, but mostly estate plan and so forth, you know, with people with wills and trusts and that kind of thing. And I had an attorney that would travel with us, and we would park right there at the church and stay there for anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, however long it took to see all the people in that church.
Wow.
And so it was really exciting. It was amazing to be able to do things where people had a desire to not only benefit themselves and their family, but they really did have a real desire to leave assets for the benefit of their church. And so that led me into what's called charitable estate planning. And so of course, then it led to more complex types of things. Well, after I finished one church, we moved on to the next one. I still had work going back here at this one. So we were working up in Everett, Washington, a church up there. And one of our clients, who is a building contractor, was also a pilot. And he had an airplane. It's called a Piper Twin Comanche. And Harvey would fly me around in his airplane to the places I needed to go to meet with the accountants and attorneys and, you know, get all the trust work done, you know, get on the more sophisticated type of plans. And so we're seeing that as my clientele grew in 19 states, you know, because you're all the way to Texas. I was based in Oregon at the time. So on all those type of things, and I had to speak at the meetings, meet with the people. And then I had stuff to build. I had to be able to get back and forth. And so that's when Dad and I discussed about getting into aviation. And so we were actually working in church then down in Tucson. And in Tucson, you know, we decided to get into flying. So I started a course in 1991. It was called a Part 141 course. It's an accelerated course. So I literally started flying every day on October 17th. And I finished my private on December 17th, the 100 years later from when the kitty hawk flew with the Wright brother, the exact same day.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
I didn't plan it; it just happened. And I just think it's kind of funny. But so anyway, so that was the start, and so that's what I flew every single day. It was a grueling schedule. So every morning I was in
Oh,
the
yeah.
flight. Then I was grueling, then doing, and then through the evening, then working with my clients, and then doing the business. So I mean, it was a big deal to learn all that. And so,
So,
and
go ahead.
no, you go ahead. No, I
Well, it
appreciate
just
you.
makes me wonder because most people wouldn't really go, okay, let's buy a plane, let's start flying lessons, unless they have always, like, were you a kid who played with planes? Did you love planes?
No,
No.
no. No, I always had a. I had a guy one time take me flying. I loved it, but I just never, it was just not. It was, and that's the reason why flying did not come easy for me.
Okay.
I had to work at it. That's the reason I had to fly every single morning. I had to really, really dig in and study,
Wow.
so I had obtained my Series 7 securities license. Well, of course, my life and health insurance license, my
Yeah.
Series 7 securities license, what's called a Series 65 and a Series 63 licenses, which are all grueling tests. And then I jump into all this flying. It's been quite a test.
Thank God you were young when you did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I went back. I was 29 years old then.
Yeah, I mean, you can
Imagine
retain things then, right? We can't retain
that.
as much anymore. God help us.
Oh,
But
it's been
anyway,
fun. It's been
okay,
great, yeah.
so I'm picturing you visiting the different churches and then coming back and visiting those churches again the next
The
year or the
clients,
next 6 months or whatever. And so you start to they start to expect you and you build relationship with these people, correct? As well as they become your clients, of course. And so in the early days, were you as did you get it then that you needed to build the relationships and nurture those relationships?
I think it was more of a natural thing for me, and I think that came natural to me.
Yeah,
Flying didn't come natural
you're
to me.
right.
That's the reason I wrote the book. The book isn't necessarily about flying and aviation. It's about
No.
relationships. It's about people. It's about ways to be able to serve people in a very good way. It's just like that quote that says, people don't remember you by what you do. They remember you by how you make them feel.
Here's the
And when
quote,
you
because I use it all the time. It's Maya Angelou. People will
exactly.
forget what you've said. People will forget what you've done, but they'll never forget how you make them feel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it. And I,
Yeah.
you know, and
So
that come
you, so
natural to
that was
me.
inbred. That was inbred in
Oh,
you
totally. Yeah. From,
naturally.
with my father in the
Yes.
interest.
Yes.
Absolutely. It has
Okay.
always been about serving people. And there's
Yeah.
a long story on how we got into churches and all those types of things. But the ending result of the flying aspect was the fact to be able to provide that service. I got referred from a pastor one time in Moses Lake, Washington, that his mom lived in Hemet, California, down in Southern California. There was his dad had died and left her all these stocks of municipal bonds and all these things, and they didn't know what to do, and it was just a big mess. So she was the sweetest thing. She lived in an adult center, and she absolutely loved the fact that I would fly to Hemet, California. She knew when I would fly because she would see right there by the airport from her place, and then
Oh.
she would drive over and meet us for lunch. And pick us up. And so just the sweetest lady.
So
And she
he
just
referred
loved that.
you, and because of that, she trusted her son, she trusted you, and then you built a new relationship
Then I
there.
worked with her kids, her other children, as well as her, and did all her planning and everything for her. And it's just amazing. She was a
Yeah.
really, really fun person. She was in her 80s, and
Yep.
how she was always involved in all the events, and it was just fun being involved in her life. And being able to be down there in Southern California, and then being able to be up back up in Washington, wherever I need to go. But
Yeah.
I had relations like that all over the country.
So you retired from active practice or no? Because now you're
Right now,
consulting
I'm doing
others.
consulting work with another financial firm,
Right.
primarily with financial advisors. So not so much client
Yeah.
facing as much as working with advisors and helping them with case design and so forth. And number one, teaching, you know what? It's not about products. It's not about investments. It's not, no, it's about people. It's
Okay, so
that
stop there for a
exact thing.
second. Stop there for a second because we know this because it comes naturally to us. So with these advisors that you are working with now, you probably know this story, but this is a story I've told a few times. And I think that it probably, these are maybe some of the people, the types of things that you run across. Tell me if I'm right. It's a story that someone told, and it's in Cody Bateman's book about the, what's it called? State Farm insurance guy who, with the letter that he sent every year. Do you know that story?
Yes, I do.
So, yeah. So is that the kind of thing that you come up against in the financial planning business where,
you know, not so much.
They send more every...
You know, and so that what basically happened in that story was the insurance company was sending out letters, standard letters to all the policyholders. You know, hey, you can increase. Yeah. Hey, we're giving you better rates on this or whatever, you know, so forth. And Cody got a hold of that letter.
No. This is Steve Schultz's story. This is Steve Schultz's story. And he may have been around before your time and send out.
Oh, okay, great.
But
yeah,
Steve Schultz's best friend worked for State Farm Insurance. It's in Corey's book, Cody's book, but
yeah,
it's Steve's
okay.
story and it's mentioned as his story.
Oh, okay.
They sent the letter. So Steve decided to play a joke on his friend and he went to his office and he took the letter with him. He said, "Hey buddy, I just got this letter." He said, "Did you send me this letter?" And the guy said, "Oh no, that's corporate." He said, "But your name's on the bottom of it." He says, "Yeah, but corporate sends him." He said, "But your name's on the bottom of it." He says, "How much business do you get from that letter?" None. Yeah, exactly. And that's how the story goes until he showed him a better.
Exactly. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah,
but
no,
you're right. That's the whole thing. So I teach these guys about the relationships, not just, you know, when I say relationship, it goes much deeper now for me. You know, every time I talk to someone on the phone, especially with a new advisor or that of me, I always immediately send them just a quick card. Just thank you so much for taking your time to meet with me. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
And I had this one guy immediately, he called me back and says, "I don't know how you did that. That is amazing." And I said, "Well, I'll show you how to do that." And so now he calls me all the time saying, "How do you do this?" Or how long does it take to get that card there? Or, you know, just like you received a box of brownies, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's exactly, you know, what I've done is, you know, like I do work with advisors and sometimes they'll hook me up with their clients. And then I'll meet with their clients. Then I'll send them a card. In one case, I sent him a box of brownies. I actually took a picture. He did a YouTube video of what he does and so forth. And it was just amazing. It's a really, really program to really help people be able to get into housing. And he did this YouTube and he come out on the stage. He laid down on his back. It was a TED talk. And he laid down on his back and put his feet up on a bench, and that's how he started his talk. And he was injured. He got into an accident and all these things. And he lost his job. He lost everything. He had to start all the way zero. And that's how he created this company. And that was the beginning. So I took that, did a screenshot of that.
Yes.
I put it on the front of the card and sent him, you know, a pack of brownies for him and his wife. He couldn't believe. He says, "I don't know how you did it. That is amazing." You know what? He's always going to remember because that's how I made him feel.
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
You know?
So,
so
So I'm wondering if, is it? Do you see the light go on with these guys? Because not everybody gets it, right? They think
I wish
that,
more would.
Yeah, it's
yeah, you know,
they're too busy being hungry for the sale than caring about people.
Yeah, I do have an advisor down here in Arizona that does seminars. And man, I just turn around, he's always sending he's always sending candies and cards and thank you gift. That guy gets it. And obviously, he keeps doing it every single month. We've seen all his. Mitch has just been amazing. And
oh, that's great.
He gets it because he, you know, when I shared it to him, he wasn't real sure. In fact, we were helping him do his cards. We don't do any of that anymore. He does it all because
that's
he sees it.
Fantastic.
You know, so I see some advisors get it and the ones that do that are successful.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the ones that do get it are the ones that aren't doing it for something in return. I think that is the key.
Send
you know,
out
we
to
all talk
give.
About business.
Yeah.
It's nice about to earn income. It's nice to be able to increase. But you know what? It's all about just when you serve others, you do the right thing. It's all
Exactly.
gonna come back to you anyways.
That's true, isn't it? I know. I got a strange phone call the other morning. No, a text from a woman that I had met last summer in a bridge tournament. And I don't even remember what she looked like. And it was in another city. And she said, my name is Donna. We met here. I have two people. Are you still doing LinkedIn? And I said, yes. And she said, I have two people that need some help. Would you talk to them? And I said, of course. So she gave my information to the two people. One of them has contacted me by email. And we had a quick Zoom call the other day. And this woman's been out of work for a year. She's looking for a new job. She's a office manager type position she's looking for. But my daughter's been out of work for almost a year. And it's not easy these days to get a job. So I started talking to her. And I knew that she wasn't going to be able to afford to work with me. So I just said, look, let's spend an hour next week. And I'll help you put your LinkedIn together because it needed help. Big time. And she said, I haven't found LinkedIn work for me. Well, I looked at why. And so, you know, she doesn't know what she's doing. So I'm just going to help her because you have to do that. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So
exactly.
There you go.
No, I love that. That's so
yeah.
good.
So
yeah.
let's talk about your upcoming book. We're not sure yet, but it may be published by the time this airs, or it's pretty close, but it's very exciting. Your book is called Beyond the Runway. Love the title. What inspired you to write it, and who do you hope it reaches?
You know, it was amazing. It's just one of those things that, you know, that kind of happened. But I've heard people have told me from time to time, Jim, you should write a book. After 5,000 hours of flying time, thousands of landing, all kinds of events and flying. I'm always telling my story to somebody about something, you know, hoping that I'm not trying to scare them from not flying. But, you know, there. And so then I realized, and as I started thinking, you know, I think I will start writing a book. And it was just amazing how just kind of one step led to another. And then really, it totally been life changing for me personally, because although it's nice to be able to pull those memories out and realize everything happens for a reason. For me to be able to apply it only into my own life today. And it's now I'm seeing, you know, I have a lot of metaphors in there
of
how it applies to people today. And so I was speaking at a networking group here a few weeks ago, and I said, I'm going to talk to you about gumps.
Gumps?
Gumps. I said, what is that? And I said, well, I have thousands of landings, 5,000 hours of flying. I've never crashed an airplane. I never landed gear up. And it's because I approached an airport, I did my GUMPS check. It stands for gas, undercarriage, mixture, props, and seatbelts. And so the gas, undercarriage, mixture, props, seatbelts, and GUMPS. So you did my GUMPS check on the way in, and I did a GUMPS check always on final. Because you get so busy in life. I was flying a client one time. We were flying into a town called Coos Bay, Oregon. We're in the clouds. It was pouring down rain. We're bouncing around like a popcorn ball. But guess what? It's so easy to get sidetracked like we are in life that forget what's really most important. I did my GUMPS check. My gear was gas on full tank. My gear was down. My mixture was full rich, full prop. And we went in there and landed safely. That's what it's about. And so that's what it applies in our life. And so I have metaphors for each one of those. And I have a checklist exactly in that to apply to business owners, entrepreneurs, and just anybody that is really in relationships are important to them. So I have created a checklist, and that's on my website. It'll be on my website as well, free download to be able to have.
So is this the chapter that talks about, I pulled an article from your LinkedIn newsletter, The Quiet Work That Keeps You Flying. Is that the GUMPS?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's beautiful because the way you broke it down with the analogy for the flying and then business and life working the same way. I love that. And I'll just read one little paragraph. Business and life work the same way. We celebrate the launch, the deal, the breakthrough, but excellence isn't built at full throttle. It's built in the stillness when no one's watching, in those moments when you inspect what you expect. And it's really cool. Oh, and one more paragraph. That's where we tighten the loose bolts of communication, where we clear the corrosion of complacency, where we verify that our why still matches our what. Most turbulence in life doesn't come from the storm ahead. It comes from skipped maintenance, a relationship taken for granted, a process never reviewed, a promise left unchecked. I loved that paragraph. I did. I mean,
Oh,
that
thank you.
speaks to me so much. A
Well,
relationship.
it's just amazing. It's been very, very inspiring for myself that when I, probably for the last few months, literally the weekends, my door shuts and no one sees me because there's no interruptions. But it is amazing how I can go through that and then it just starts flowing
Nice.
in very positive way. And it affects my life right now as much as I'm hoping it affects other people too, because that's the truth. Because things do corrode. And there's ways to treat it and take care of it. But if you don't catch it, there's further stories about that in the book.
Oh,
And
I
if you
can't
don't
wait to
catch it,
read the book.
the
Yeah.
airplane becomes the airplane becomes weak. It becomes unworthy. It's not safe to fly. And isn't that true in our life?
Yeah.
If we don't take care of ourselves physically,
Yes.
emotionally, all those things, you know. And so those are things that I wanted to, that's the reason why I have a real desire to get this book out.
Well, I can't wait to read it because it really does. I mean, yeah, I just loved that. It just spoke to my heart. And that's really what you were doing and what you're doing in this book. I know, I can tell. And I see it every time I talk to you because you're very passionate about it, which is amazing.
I am.
Yeah.
I go, I don't know what I'm going to say on this podcast. She says, Jim, you don't ever have to worry about that.
No, I don't think so.
You
And
know, it's, you know, and the other thing, so what I'm doing, it's okay for me to share this. So
yes.
if you find me on LinkedIn, subscribe to my newsletter. I'm taking parts from that book and writing for that specific newsletter that Janice was just talking about. So I'd love to have you subscribe. I'd love you to be able to read that.
Yeah, and that's what first caught my attention when I did subscribe and started to read them, and I can't wait for the book now. So, okay, just a couple of quick questions around your belief in relationships. In a world that leans heavily on digital communication, how do you keep your relationship building personal and genuine? I know what you're going to say, but different ways to do it.
Well, of course, I always love, you know, cards are always good, but
Yeah.
you know, it's about the relationship. It's about talking to people. It's about one-on-one is always the best. And that's what the airplane allowed me to do, of course.
Yeah.
But I've always loved to meet with people in person as much as I possibly can. And, you know, that's always that. And this, you know, as far, and it was like kind of flying thing. I flew clients to Phoenix and go to races. I flew clients to go take care of their family. They had needs. I used to fly for an organization called Pilots for Christ. And there was a lady that was become very ill, and they had to get her home. They couldn't take care of her in another country. They flew her into commercially. Somehow they got her into Orange County. I don't know if she flew there or not.
Yep,
So I
I
picked
haven't.
her up at the Orange County Airport and got all her stuff in the back of my airplane, and I flew her back to Oregon. You
Oh,
know,
that's
and so I
wonderful.
love it because I was able to fly around, because I was always flying from Colorado to Oregon or wherever, that there was always people in need, you know. But to, you know, but to really answer your question, you know, it's just always just that's the reason I love the cards. I shoot myself because I built my practice over 800 clients. I go, I can't believe that I'd always wanted to have something like promptings. Because I know that if I would, how much more effective I would have been. And I build it primarily on referrals and word of mouth and seeing people
Yeah.
at their kitchen table. That's how I built my practice, you know.
So do
And,
you
you know.
think that's sustainable today for the people that, you know, that are doing what you're doing that job now?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
As long as, yeah, absolutely. As long as they, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, the biggest thing that I see is number one, things, some of the financial guys, they get a little bit of egotism, and it's and everything is based upon money, how much money they're going to earn, right? They've totally missed it.
I know, I
And
hear it all the
it's,
time.
you know, and so that's my biggest thing is talking to people.
Challenge,
I
right?
talk very, very complex cases, talk very sophisticated type planning, but I still drive it down to look, you know what? I'll tell you one thing. It's all this stuff is great. You're going to save this much in tax. You can do all this, client, but do you know your client?
Yeah.
Do you really know your client? Are you really doing, exactly what is the right thing, not because you're going to earn this over here, but are you doing the right thing for your client? That's the number one thing. So,
And are they more than just a number?
yeah,
Right? Are they more than just a number? And what
right.
actually bothers me around that industry, the financial planning and the insurance industries, is you get that one letter a year from 95% of these people, right? And they expect you to renew. They expect you to maybe buy more insurance, or they send you a letter. This has happened to us, to say, well, this type of insurance isn't going to work anymore because you're getting old, so you should do this. But they haven't built into the real, they haven't, what's the word? Like, they haven't poured into the relationship enough over the years to make me care to do it. And they probably think they're not going to make enough money on us, so they don't bother. And I think that's wrong.
Yeah, it is wrong. And you're exactly right. And that's the reason why. And if you ask most advisors, everybody talks about doing annual reviews. Most of them don't. When they, if they, if they, when they, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll go and look, go through the file, look it through business that they think they're going to write new business to get paid again, rather than, no, that's the problem. And that's the reason why I love the cards. You could send a card for holidays, you can send a card for birthdays, and so forth. But what about that special card? Just send them a card. Just say, you know what? I was just thinking of you. I just wanted you to let you know that you matter. You are important. And you know what? Business is good. That's it. The guys that I've talked to that truly do that are very successful. But they're really successful in relationships. They're successful in people. So that's the reason I view aviation as a tool. It's just a, it was just a pure
What
tool.
percentage of people are women now in the in those fields?
You're getting more and more. It's still small,
Is
but
it? Okay, just curious.
in our organization, well, my other initially my organization there was about 300 agents, and I would guess that maybe out of 300, maybe 15, 10 or 15. Yeah, small. I know
Interesting.
some, and I did a lot of joint work with female advisors that were really, really good. I really learned a lot and enjoyed working with them. Did a lot of planning with them.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so if someone's listening today and wants to be better at nurturing their network, what's one practice they can start right now?
Even if they're in the financial business or anything, is the biggest thing is connecting with their people, even a phone call.
Pick up the phone, right? What a novel idea. Pick up the phone.
That's it. Pick up the phone and be talking to people. And be thinking about them. And that's the reason why it's really, and there's nothing wrong, I think birthdays and all those things, some people do half birthday meeting, cards and stuff like that, which is it's good. And I have no problem, is whatever is gonna work for you. What we talk you and I are talking a lot about promptings, but because we get excited about it, because we have a system that they will actually design the cards for you. Because what's the biggest complaint? I hear guys say, oh, I just don't have time. I don't have time to figure that out. Look, this is what's so cool. We have a system set up where they will set up, they will manage your account. You can upload your list. They will design your cards, they'll design your card backs and everything for you. All simple. You can even put your own signature font on there. Simple card, not a big, long, drawn out written letter. It doesn't need to be, because remember, it's about how you make your people feel.
I always
And
say
I,
it
you know,
takes people from their head to their heart when they have a
there you
text
go. It's
card.
only 11 inches. And so, and so why not? And that's what's really cool. So you can you is that the system will automatically send the cards for them for you. I've sent out a lot of Starbucks coffee cards. I do a lot of, gifts and so forth. I use it for my own kids. It's just a, that's what's so amazing about that whole system. So to answer your question, of course, phone call, any interaction you can do, but it's beyond that. It's not just after you make a sale.
Exactly. Beyond the runway, right?
It.
Beyond the runway.
My last chapter, you can love it, is the other end of the runway.
Okay. And I also understand from just brief conversation before that there's going to be more books, which is exciting as well.
Have two more planned.
So that's
Yeah,
crazy.
it'll be fun.
Okay. One last question that I like to ask. Well, I'm going to say two. Second to last question. I don't know whether it's for whether we have time for entertainment or whether it's for business or what, but how do you get your information these days? Do you read real books? Do you watch TV? Do you listen to podcasts? What do you do? Watch videos? What?
A lot of reading.
Okay. You actually have
right
the,
now,
the real books that you do? Okay.
Yeah, or I do a lot of we have a lot of regular books. Cindy and I like to read every morning. So every morning at 6 o'clock, we typically wake up. Can we have our personal development time, coffee? And I spend time reading to her. Right now, we're reading a lot of Wayne Dyer. You know,
you know what? I love reading out loud. And that's why I like to read
that's
that.
That's what
I do. You do
so
that.
So I read to her out loud. I do like iBooks because I like to be able to highlight. I like to copy and paste and send it. You know, it's just like this. So like I'll print this, but I keep this out in front of me at all times.
Okay. Make your future.
And this is actually put this in my book. I got this from, you know,
read
make future dream a present fact by assuming the feeling of the wish fulfilled.
Ooh, that's nice. Was that Wayne
I love
Dyer?
Him. Yep.
I haven't
Wayne
read
Dyer.
His stuff for years. I loved Wayne
Yeah.
Dyer.
We really like Wayne Dyer.
Yeah,
And
he's great.
it was amazing. And so that's been life changing for us, literally. And so, you know, I really, you know, getting rid of our ego. And one of the things that Cindy brought up to my attention, Cindy's my wife.
Yes.
And what she said to me the other day is, you know, I was just reading about getting dropped and getting the, not, don't be fenced in, get rid of the fence and get rid of the things that, you know, that are in our way. And,
yes,
you know, and it's our ego and all these things, but get rid of the fence. And then she says, and lengthen your table.
And what?
Lengthen your table.
Lengthen your table.
Light your table. Do things for other people where you're able to serve more people.
Oh, lighten your table.
Lengthen.
Oh, lengthen.
Make
That's
it
what I said.
Longer.
Yeah, lengthen your table. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it's kind of, so I said, well, that's kind of like beyond the runway. You just keep getting along the runway. Sometimes you land or take off two or three times on some of these runways.
Huh.
Okay.
Very cool. Okay, one last quick question.
Sure.
Curiosity, my favorite word. Do you think curiosity is innate or learned?
I think it's innate. I've always been curious.
Okay.
I've always been curious about people, you
Yes.
know, and I mean, even when I was a kid, I was always curious about people. I was always up and down the street. I knew everybody that lived on my street as a kid. You know, I knew all the people, and I tell my mom, oh, this person's doing this and this person's doing this and this, because that's just, I was always curious about people. And that's the reason why at the very beginning you asked me about, you know, how I got started in this. It was that's something that came natural for me, a constant curiosity, curious about people, curious about what they believe, curious about where they are in their life, curious of ways that I could do something for them. Always, you know, I used to, as a kid, I used to, I don't know if you heard, I don't know if you remember or not, there used to be a newspaper called the Grit newspaper. And it would come in rolls, and you sell for 50 cents. And I'd go up to the grocery store, and I'd buy those. And they come out once a month, and I'd stand at the grocery table. And it wasn't to sell the paper; it was to meet people.
That's so
You know,
cute.
and that's the way I built my whole life. Has always been that way. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, so much, Jim.
Been
what
fun.
and to my listeners, wow, what a meaningful conversation we've had, Jim and I. Someone who not only understands the importance of relationships in business, but lives it out daily, whether from a client meeting or when he was 30,000 feet up in the air. His upcoming book, Beyond the Runway, reminds us that success isn't just about where you're headed, it's about who you're connecting with along the way. If today's episode sparked some new ideas or habits for staying in touch, that's the real win. Because as Jim shows us, when you put relationships first, the rest tends to take off.
Right.
So you can find Jim on LinkedIn and on his website, beyondtherunway.net, and you'll be able to buy his book there as well. So watch for any further notifications about that in the future. But for now, all the best, Jim, with the book, and remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.